all right, what does the body actually need? What does my body actually need to be full, satisfied, not in starvation, not yo-yo dieting? And I started studying nutrition at that point.
Today, my guest is Vanessa Sturman. Vanessa is regularly featured on TV for her expertise in eating a healthy diet. She's a plant-based coach and an award-winning speaker. In this episode, we talk about how easy it is to make a vegan diet delicious, the real misconceptions around a healthy diet, getting enough protein from plants, and eating for your menstrual cycle and menopause. Vanessa, hello and welcome to my show. It is lovely to have you here. And I'd love to do this in person, but you know, Zoom's the next best thing.
How are you? Totally. Oh, I'm great, thanks. If it was in person, I'd be bringing food and all those things. And we're probably not taught, we'd probably just eat.
Well, and I have looked at some of your cooking on your Instagram channel. It looks amazing. And I definitely want to get more into that. You're actually my first vegan coach. So I'm intrigued. I want to know more. But before we start, could you give me, myself and my audience, some background on you and how you became a plant-based coach?
Yes, absolutely. So I call myself a plant-based health coach. And you know, sometimes I just call myself a health coach because in the end, that is what I am. I'm teaching you healthy habits, building in. And just for anyone who's gone vegan, I don't blame you sometimes because of the media and the things that you might hear. This is not about giving anything up. This is about building in more healthy habits, more whole foods, more plants to get you a really, really healthy result. So I can just give background from where I came from. Maybe I'll do the story thing and you can ask questions if something's like, you know, clarification.
We love the story thing. Please give me the story.
All right, great. So, I mean, my whole thing is I've always been a food lover and I help people get rid of fatigue, get a healthy weight, never diet again, but eat the most delicious food that fits around their life, their preferences, what they want to do and get a result. And so, you know, for me, I'll start this at like the age of 15 and I was a bit overweight and I didn't really care about boys much. And then I started caring a bit more, you know, like that's, I started a bit late caring about boys to be fair. And I wanted to lose a bit of weight. I started running and was like, oh, I'll, you know, run and I'll eat a bit less cake and I'm sure that'll be fine. And that turned into running 7 miles a day, running just up the street occasionally turned into running 7 miles a day. It turned into really not eating very much at all. It turned into a binge eating disorder. It turned into an obsession. And, you know, this was horrendous and one of the most unhappy places I'd ever been in. And I had this moment when I was 17 years old and was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, there has got to be a way I can eat the food I love because I love food. Still have cake because I love cake. Be a healthy weight, like whatever that kind of means, you know, like this looks different for everyone. Not be obsessed with food and be constantly like scared of food or constantly thinking about food and just have like this happy, normal, healthy life. Had no idea, the word normal is awful. I was like, right, no idea what this looks like. No idea what normal is. I'm completely screwed up. And that was what took me on this like nutrition journey of being like, all right, what does the body actually need? What does my body actually need to be full, satisfied, not in starvation, not yo-yo dieting? And I started studying nutrition at that point. And I also became, you know, much more aware in a good way of food. Like, hey, how is this nourishing my body? Like, I'm not going to eat less when I know I'm just going to eat more later because I'm hungry. Like, how do we do this? How do we love ourselves and love our body? So I started studying that like in my own time and also really going for it with the most delicious flavors, the most delicious food and being like, no, this is something I'm going to enjoy because this is what life is about. And then sort of cut forward into the like mid-20s, you know, even though I had a much healthier relationship with food, I was still like working out too much, still not kind of having the balance I needed, had quite bad acne, bloating. And at that point, even though I already had some really healthy habits, understood loads about intuitive eating, balanced eating, I went to India and stopped eating meat because I didn't want to get sick, and discovered how full I could get off lentils and things like that. And I was like, I need to look more into this stuff. And I really discovered, yes, fine, for me, I turned vegan, right? I saw what was happening to the animals, the planet, and also people's health. And I realized I could completely transform my own health even more. You know, I look like 10 years younger than I did in my 20s kind of thing. Like it's crazy. But I also realized that so many people were put off by this food because it was often bland, boring, not filling. And I was like, okay, so how can I help everyone else eat more of this food in a non-restrictive way that's actually going to help their health, not make them feel guilty or feel like, oh, I have to do this 100%, I have to be vegan, but actually get them a health result, help the planet, and help them eat less animals in a way that's benefiting for everyone. And that was kind of how I came to some of this point.
I guess that the one big question that arises for me, because I do eat meat and I love certain things about my diet, and I'm not saying what's right or wrong, and perhaps we can talk about sort of the benefits and the drawbacks, but do you miss meat, fish? Because you're vegan, right? It's not, you're not vegetarian, you're vegan. And maybe let's just talk about the distinction around there, because I think a lot of people say they're vegan, but what is a true vegan?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good question. And I think I can go over what these labels are, but one of the biggest things I encourage people to do is sometimes chuck the labels out, because I think it can really restrict how people eat. They can go, well, I'm not going to eat that because I'm not X. And it's like, well, if that's good for your health, or you want to have that, like, just kind of have it, you know? And actually sometimes these labels can draw us back. But veganism is actually not about food, or food is just one component. It's an ethical stance of not harming other living beings. So if you are a true vegan, you're also not going to wear leather or go to zoos or things like that. And you are avoiding the exploitation of other living beings to the extent you can, you know? So for instance, if there's an anesthetic you need and it's been tested on an animal, you take the anesthetic. You take the anesthetic, you know, we'd be sensible. So that's being vegan. Being plant-based just means not having animal products in your diet. So not having meat, fish, dairy, eggs, honey. Yes, people have slight variations on some of that, and that's totally fine, because that's the sort of detail that ends up separating us a bit, as opposed to looking at the whole. But the approach I come from is, let's get more of these whole foods and plants. And I can go through like why you all want to do that, no matter what, whether you're eating meat or not. Why do you want to get more of these foods into your diet? That's the bit that's really going to benefit everyone's health by doing that, and maybe rebalancing some of what they might be eating, as opposed to we need to give this up, we need to give that up.
Before getting on to that, do you miss meat?
Oh, yeah.
Do you miss fish?
Sorry, you did ask me that. I loved meat, the taste of meat and fish. I didn't stop eating them because I didn't like the taste at all. So I don't miss them at all. But that is because I eat really incredible food. And that is because I can replicate the textures of that. And I do this with whole foods, by the way. So I know that question could be coming. We can talk about that, about processed food. And I know sometimes that becomes a thing in the media. Oh, well, this vegan processed food. Let's lean into that and address that. I think that's really important.
I think that's definitely where we would go, yes.
We can talk about that. I love recreating incredible textures. So one of the dishes I love making is jerk tofu and Caribbean rice in a much more balanced kind of meal. So this isn't just to do with whether it's got meat or not. What else am I doing to that meal to make it healthier, more full of whole foods, more full of veg? And that's very similar to what I would have eaten when I cooked jerk chicken and Caribbean rice before, for example. So I'm very good at recreating those things. And I ran a recipe website for like 5 years, a plant-based one, where I was making like, you know, artichoke and cannellini crab cakes with seaweed and all sorts of other wonderful flavors to make plant-based crab cakes that were full of whole foods. You know, so I am very into that kind of thing. I'm very into texture and flavor, so I don't miss meat or fish. But I liked it. Yeah, I'm absolutely no issue in saying that.
Well, it definitely sounds like you are an absolute whiz in the kitchen. just you mentioned before, and I think you're right about there are so many sort of misconceptions around what is good healthy diet, and people just using the name sort of vegan and vegetarian to assume it's healthy. And I guess this is where I get stuck a little bit, and I'm coming at it from, again, you know, someone who's very into my health and nutrition, and not so much watching my weight anymore. I think I sort of had a little bit of your journey in my 20s as well, but now turning to food as a form of nutrition and a form of longevity, as you've got this body, you want it to last as long as possible and in a great state and be full of energy. And I see a lot of people that talk about, and are not trying to put anyone down, because I absolutely, totally agree with not treating animals cruelly and that side of things. But I do see some vegans and some vegetarians that are talking that their diet isn't great. And I'm looking going, oh dear, but what you're putting in your body is just not going to be good for it. Can you talk a little bit around that, Vanessa?
Yeah, I think this is really important to talk about. And what I usually say, this is not me saying we're not going to talk about it, but with some of it, I say, that's not a vegan problem. It's a nutrition knowledge problem, you know? So when people say, oh, what about all the processed food? I'm like, again, let's talk about it, but it's a processed food problem. It's not a vegan problem. So many people, and you'll know this from going through a journey and also actually having to acquire information and apply it to your life in a way that works. We're not taught this in school. You know, we're not, and it doesn't matter whether someone's vegan or not, we're not taught it in school. And eating more whole foods, more healthy foods, less processed foods, you know, you can know about that whether you're vegan or not, you know? And the thing is we live in this world that makes us turn to convenience, you know? And yes, because something is vegan doesn't automatically make it healthy. And I help, you know, my clients are a mix of people who've been vegan for years. Yeah. And people who are never, ever, ever going to go vegan. But they're like, Vanessa, help me with my health. Help me eat this amazing food. Help me eat, you know, more whole foods and plants. Help me with my health issues. And I still want to have some meat. No worries. Let's crack on. So in that sense, that's why sometimes I sometimes get a bit like, do I call myself a health coach or a plant-based health coach? Because I am a health coach, but then I've got this specialism in plant-based. But, you know, in the end, we can apply it to all of our lives, getting this food in. And I think some of those people that you're talking about, they don't understand whole foods. They don't understand, despite being vegan, actually putting vegetables on their plate. You know, that which sounds like crazy, because there's also this misconception, oh, vegans just eat carrots. I'm like, some of them need to eat more carrots. So yeah, it is a huge knowledge problem. And, you know, I do talk to, you know, like to completely vegan audiences, and then I do some to completely non-vegan ones. And a lot of what I talk about is very similar, you know? Because they all need to understand, well, how do we balance the plate better? How do we get more of these foods in? What does a whole food actually look like? How do I recognize by looking on a packet that this is more processed? I need to eat it. It doesn't mean don't eat it. Eat in moderation. So those things are all really important. And that's why you sometimes get this, you know, vegans who don't understand health, because they're just people in the end. They're just people who are not understanding health.
Yeah. There's another, I guess, and this might not be a misconception, but another area that I think has caused a lot of debate, and that's the whole thing about protein. And getting enough protein. And, you know, I'm someone that's coming as a bodybuilder. I do eat a lot of protein. And I've heard mixed things on how much protein we need. Is it good in terms of longevity? Certainly as a menopausal woman, I'm now 52. We need more protein the older we get, because it's much more difficult to do that whole protein synthesis. It drops as we age. Obviously, the danger of sarcopenia, osteoporosis for women as well, where basically our bone density is getting less and less. So I'm guessing, you know, that protein is important. What are your views when people say, oh, how do I get protein in my diet?
Yeah, I think, again, it's such a good question, because there's kind of two sides of this. One side is, well, there's protein in plants. Okay. That is not always the most helpful statement. While it is a true statement, it's not helpful.
Which so, plants?
Exactly. It's like, which plants? How do I do it? Because when I look at most people's plates, regardless of what diet they're on, a lot of them are not eating enough protein. You know, that's and a huge problem is that we've equated a lot in our society and the media with protein equals meat, for example. It's a source of protein. So there's a lot of misconceptions, and a lot of people are not getting enough of it. So some people try and go more plant-based. They try and ask for help with protein. And I've seen people on social media forums going, all plants have protein. Okay, we need to look at the ones that have a lot more protein that you could actually, on your kind of more balanced plate, use as an actual protein source, for example. So, right, edamame beans, tofu, tempeh, beans, nuts, I wouldn't say use as the protein source. They have a lot of protein in, but they use them as a whole fat source, but they still have that, you know, they still have protein in. No plant is an incomplete protein. That was also a myth that was in vogue, that you need to pair foods to get a complete protein. The only incomplete protein is gelatin, which comes from an animal. So you're going to get all the essential amino acids that you need from plants, but you do have to go, what are the biggest sources of protein? And you do need to make sure you've got those on your plate. You can't just go, I'm going to eat plants and expect for all your nutritional needs to be met. And this is where the whole nutrition education comes from, that so many people, again, regardless of their diet, will say, I don't know why, I don't know, putting on weight, et cetera, et cetera. And you look at what's on their plate and it's, you know, too much fried food, too much white pasta. Pasta's still great, I don't, you know, but there's too much of certain things. And again, it's this nutritional balance problem that loads of people don't understand what to do. So you can get, I mean, there's loads of athletes, for example, who are completely plant-based. Djokovic, for example, the Williams sisters, etc. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger is promoting a plant-based diet now because of the benefits that you can get in terms of performance, but also because you absolutely can get enough protein. But you, of course, need to think about it properly. It's not just an automatic, and that's where you do get people going, well, I tried a plant-based diet and I nearly died. And I'm like, I'd love to see what you're actually eating.
It's just a bowl of pasta and that was it.
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, no wonder I'd be hungry. People go, I was constantly hungry. I look at what they're eating. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be starving. You know, so there is, again, a lot of it comes down to, if we had a bit more information and people were taught more of this, they could make more sensible decisions built around them. And they could say, well, I know this food is a bit more processed. I'm not going to necessarily not have it, but I'll have less of it. I know that this isn't so good, I'll have less. Oh, I need to know I need to have more of X, Y, Z. I'll do that. And I just think that is not common knowledge.
So how do you work with your clients? Say a client comes to you, do you take them through a process, or talk me through how you sort of work with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work in a very, very bespoke and tailored way, because I don't think anything else works. This is the reason I do not do meal plans. Oh, here's 21 meals for a week that Vanessa loves, that you're going to have none of the flipping ingredients for, that's going to take you ages, make you really stressed, and you're never going to stick to again. So I very much work on a nourishment basis, and I work on a basis that I can help you, but only you can tell when you're full, when you're hungry. I can't go, right, this is the exact portion you're going to have. Well, I don't know how hungry you're going to be. You might be working out, you might be doing this, but I need to give you the tools. I work very much on easy and incremental changes. So someone will come to me, I'll know their health problems, I'll know what they love, I'll know some people come to me and they say, I want to become fully plant-based. I'm like, okay, well, make sure you do that then. Other people are like, I still want to have meat, but I want to get healthier. I'm like, cool, let's do that. So it's all built around them, but it's all about easy, incremental, sustainable things they can do that they love so that it sticks. So the first place we go to is, right, what is already in your day? So I get a window into their day, and I say, right, show me pictures of your food, show me what you're doing, show me what's in your cupboard, not so I can judge it, but so we can enhance it. If I look at a plate that, you know, breakfast, for example, okay, so you just got a load of oats in your bowl, cool, there's some great points to oats, but you told me you're hungry an hour later, you've got all these other health problems, all right, I'm all about adding, add some chia seeds, all right, we're going to add some linseed for great omega-3s, phytoestrogens as well, if you're in menopause, for example. All right, we can get a couple of pieces of fruit on there as well. What fruit do you love? How can we make this breakfast really nutritionally dense, really delicious? How do we vary it? How can we get extra superfoods in? Some cacao powder, which is the pure form of chocolate. Have a kind of chocolatey version of that. How can we have some different nuts on there? And then with just a few changes, they've enhanced a meal that they can have, you know, a different version of most days if they want, without having to feel like, oh, I've had to chuck everything out from my house. What I'm doing is terrible. Oh, actually, that's something I can start doing every day that's going to drastically improve my health outcomes, my cravings, my weight management, et cetera. And we sort of do that throughout the day. And that's how we start. And then we get them used to, okay, how can we build in more variety? How can we build in, you know, more wonderful superfoods? How can we build in more flavors? How can we do things that also just really get you excited? You know, it's got to excite you. What are some of the dishes you just love? Okay, how can we adapt them a bit so they're a bit healthier? How can we make sure you can still have them? So it's taking them through this journey where the changes are small but doable with these massive results. I mean, I had someone after one session with me message me saying, I'm no longer stiff or tired. My clothes are starting to fit better just by bulking the food out with more healthy things. My skin's looking better and people are commenting that I look different. Can I put more people in touch with you, Vanessa? Because people are asking. And, you know, that's just from small changes, including even drinking more water, reducing things that are not so good for them, etc. And really understanding, for example, if you're eating late at night, I don't tell you, oh, stop eating late at night, stop eating that ice cream from the Tesco underneath your apartment, which I had someone doing. I'm like, look, if you still want that, you're going to have it. But let's look at your day and let's fill your day with some good things. And then if you want the ice cream, off you go. No problem. There's never a you can't eat thing. He didn't want it after making the changes. And that was after like a few weeks. He had got rid of that massive issue. And then now he still occasionally has it and just enjoys it when he does.
Gosh, there's so many things that I want to say about that, because apart from the late night eating, yeah, that's always an issue, isn't it? It's stopping dinner time from just overriding into going to bed. And I'm reading about the benefits of it. Trying to stop eating a couple of hours before going to bed. Digestive tract time to work. You mentioned people coming with health issues. What are some of the main health issues that maybe a plant-based diet can help with?
Yeah, so really huge. I mean, I might just give a quick overview of some of the benefits first and then how that relates to certain health issues.
Yep. Yeah, let's do that.
So first of all, like our gut health, which, you know, relates to hormone management, immunity, weight, brain fog, cravings, it relates to so
I'm all about the gut health at the moment. The microbiome is like, they're saying it's a new brain, right? That's actually what's governing us.
Exactly. So we need to keep it healthy. And for a healthy gut, we need a large amount of good gut bacteria and we need a big diversity of them. They break down our food, they help like with hormone management, so many for immunity, healthy bowel, everything. Stop us getting bloated if we have this good population, and we need this population to thrive. Our good gut bacteria feed off fiber. They feed off fiber. That's what they eat, right? If we're not having a big diversity and a good amount of fiber, our bacteria is not going to thrive, regardless of what, which is why I like people to throw out the labels. I'm like, this isn't helpful. Can we just look at what else we need to put into our diet to be really healthy? So we want to have this thriving microbiome. And if we put these, what we call prebiotics in, so the probiotics are the good gut bacteria themselves, what they eat are called prebiotics, which is fiber, right? So if we eat a diversity of fiber, so a diversity of plants, fruit, veg, grains, beans are full of fiber, we're going to feed this microbiome. Yes, we need some probiotic foods as well a couple of times a week that have good gut bacteria in them, but we want to be feeding this population. That's going to help us.
So the difference between probiotics, are we talking sort of yogurts, etc., fermented food, and the probiotics and the prebiotics, the actual plants themselves?
That's right. So probiotics are literally our good gut bacteria, probiotics. You can get them in pill form, but many of them aren't very effective. There are some effective ones on the market. That's not to say don't use those. The most effective thing you can do is use the probiotic foods, which can be fermented yogurts, and there are many plant-based versions as well, sauerkraut, kimchi, miso, which is fermented bean or rice paste. Having those a few times a week is going to add extra good gut bacteria, probiotics, into your gut. You only need those a few times a week. You can have them every day if you want, but the biggest thing you need to focus on is what feeds the good gut bacteria, which is the prebiotics, and that's your fiber. The reason it's not talked about as much, although you can buy all sorts of fiber mixes, is that it's harder to package up and sell in a pill. Just eat a wide range of fruits, vegetables, etc. It's harder to sell. So,
and there's no money in it from the big pharmaceuticals, let's face it.
Exactly. So people have said to me, yeah, but why didn't I know this, Vanessa? And I'm like, well, it's harder to sell. And actually, people are selling fiber supplements now. And, you know, it actually really pains me that people are selling like concoctions to make people get rid of their constipation and poo. And I'm like, if you had a higher fiber diet, like this whole pooing thing would happen naturally every day. And actually, if you need like some ridiculously expensive concoction to clear you out,
something's wrong.
I'm not saying, you know, if you've got to a point where you need some additional help, I'm not saying don't get it. You've got to make your own decisions. But my thing is, right, what are we doing every day that's maintaining our health so that we're not in those situations? So you've got that side with the fiber stuff. Fiber also slows down the release of blood sugar. It is so key in our weight management. For example, you have to be less careful of things like portion sizes if you're eating more of these whole foods and plants. So a lot of people struggle with diets because it's so restricted, it's so controlled. And actually people go, well, I've had my portion of food. And that's when the late night Tesco ice cream comes out, because they're so, I mean, God, I've done it myself. Oh, I'm going to be really good. This is what I did when I was a teenager. I'm going to be really good. And I'm telling you, when people, I know what a binge is, because my body was so hungry. So eating more of these whole foods and fibers will also help keep us more full. So it means you're not struggling so much with all these cravings, etc. Fiber gives something for like toxins to basically hook onto. If you can imagine poo, basically give something for toxins to grab onto. It helps cleanse your body of toxins. It helps with, you know, getting rid of bloating. It helps with all sorts of conditions.
Now that's interesting about the bloating, because I think as a woman, we all have, and I'm sure men do as well, but I think women talk about it more than men. We get bloating. We get bloating at various different times of the month. I used to get bloating with certain foods, and I actually had to go and get myself sort of tested. So certain foods, I'm not very good with legumes. Just happens that I'm not. That's one area. I love plant-based, and you know, I do try and get a lot of plant-based, but there are certain things that I'm not too good with. And I think that's just everyone's system is different. Is there anything that you say if a woman comes and goes, oh God, vegetables, oh, that's going to bloat me a lot?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting one, because I talk about this a lot, and I sort of have a bit of a checklist first, because obviously you might need to go and see someone who is going to do something, you know, test you maybe for, you know, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, which not many people have, but there are things where if nothing else is working, you might want to go and get tested for certain stuff, which I don't do that stuff. But what I look at first of all, so there is a phenomenon when people start eating more fiber because they don't have. This is not me saying that you have this. This is, you know, a general thing. And so people can test it out. They may not have the good gut bacteria that breaks down those foods. If that is the case, you're going to get bloating. Your body is going to be like, ah, I can't digest this, because you haven't built up that bacteria. But when people slowly introduce these foods, even to the extent of one bean a day, sometimes that changes, right? So that there's, you know, huge efforts that can be made in those. It could be that you're eating something that is causing the bloating, but you're not actually sure what that thing is. There's actually foods that are causing more inflammation in your gut, for example. It could even be, you know, you're having too much alcohol and sugar and dairy. That could be it, but it's not necessarily the same for each person. You might not be drinking enough water. You might not be chewing your food properly. You might not be doing enough exercise. There's all these different things that could be contributing. Additionally, I also help women sync with their cycle, so eat for their cycle. And I've been doing this for years now. And it is incredible how, you know, I used to get the worst bloating around my period, which I just
I
don't
used
get
to do back in the day, yes.
Yeah. And I just don't get it. When I started cycle syncing, like my period pains massively reduced, like ridiculously. And I stopped getting bloating. And eat, I mean, this is a whole other podcast in itself.
Talk quickly about cycle syncing, because I'm really interested to know what sort of things.
Absolutely. So if you're a menstruating person or woman, you have four phases of your hormonal cycle, and your needs are different throughout that. Now, this also has to come with overall a healthier way of eating, like foods that don't cause so much inflammation, eating more plants, more whole foods, more probiotic foods, etc. You need to get that in regardless, because there's no point in trying to cycle sync if your diet is terrible, because it's going to be very hard for you. So you're still going to help your cycle, even if you're not cycle syncing, but you're eating more whole foods, more plants, more fiber, you're still going to help that. But we've got these four different phases. You've got the follicular phase when the egg's developing, the ovulatory phase when you're ovulating, the luteal phase where, oh, I'm a bit more pissed off and a bit more hungry phase. But we shouldn't be getting mental mood swings. That can be because of a hormone imbalance. But yes, we are less tolerant in that phase, and that is okay. And then we've got the menstrual phase, which is our period. Our calorie requirements, for example, are different throughout those. I'm in my luteal phase. Don't worry, I'm not pissed off. You know, I'm all good. I give myself more time away from people during this time. So when I get on a podcast, I'm still jamming. I still love people.
Tell me this is the chocolate craving stage.
Yeah, and we can want more chocolate, more sugar, more carbs. But we need to also be prepared so that we don't eat foods that are going to actually set us back health-wise. Hey, yeah, of course you need it. You know, there's a time fruit does not cut it for your sugar craving. I got homemade brownies in the freezer and ice cream that are ready for me for this phase. But I do want more sweet potato. I am going to want bigger portions of food because my calorie requirements are higher. And actually, I'll be doing a bit less exercise during this phase because I have a bit less energy. When I get to my period, I actually take the time to rest. My body needs more rest. And I'm going to eat more foods like beetroot that increase blood flow and are actually natural pain relief for your period. That doesn't mean you have to stop taking painkillers. Do what you need to do. But there's all sorts of things you can do that just reduce your period pains. And I started getting much less period pains within 3 weeks of cycle syncing and changing this. And that's why I've been doing it for years. And I teach other women to do this. Women who've had fibroids, endometriosis, etc. You can start to change this with cycle syncing.
I think it's so funny. And you know, I'm just reading and listening to more and more about that cycle syncing as well and the different phases. Mm. And when I was in my 20s and 30s, it was almost like a joke. Oh, look, she's eating the chocolate. You know what time of the month it is. Or, oh, she's moody. And it was a given. But no one actually said, well, why is this? Mm. And what can we do about this? And actually, if you crave chocolate, a nice bit of dark chocolate is probably exactly what you need, and a bit of R&R, this is the time to have it. But instead, we were, back in the day, it was no fight through it. You know, you've just got your, it comes every month, deal with it. You've got no willpower if you're having chocolate. You know, it was a very hard way, I think, of looking at things. And I'm definitely seeing a change now. I'm so glad we are seeing a change. Because that's the only way we can move forward.
Yeah, it's so true. And the world is very built around the 24-hour clock. And, you know, there is this, like, you get up the same morning routine, the this, the that. And if you don't do that, you are weak, you are inconsistent, you are undisciplined. Hey, I've got four phases of my month. I'll do what I want for my morning routine. Thank you. And some days, my morning routine is lying in bed for longer and then moving straight to the sofa to lie down because I'm on my period. Thank you. I do not feel guilty. And we work differently to the male hormones. And this, like, I love my cycle. Oh my God, I love it. It's incredible. I love the change of energy. I love doing what I need for those bits of the cycle. When I've got more energy, I'm like, hey, I'm going to do that kind of workout. When I have less, I'm like, I'm not pushing harder and faster now. So don't yell harder and faster at me. This is where I am now. And it's absolutely incredible. And our bodies are telling us things. We are less tolerant of people. It's not because you're crazy. Actually, give me a bit more time to myself, actually, because I am actually less great with people. I'm better with people at the first half of my cycle. That's okay. And we need to listen to our bodies. We are so encouraged to listen to something outside our bodies. If we're having a craving, okay, that doesn't mean you have to go and eat McDonald's, but it's still telling you, well, my body wants something, you know, fine. I might need to go and eat a really great balanced meal first. And then if I still want that cake, I'm going to have it. Like, you know, no one can tell me otherwise. And I think it's really important that we're encouraged to do that. And especially with our cycle, we are taught to suppress, 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 not embrace, embrace, embrace.
I completely agree. And I love this new way of thinking. And then of course you reach sort of the menopausal age and suddenly you don't have a cycle, but then you have to adjust things again as well. And I think Do you have a lot of menopausal women that come to you for advice? Because I'm quite interested in this area. What sort of things should we be changing the older we get?
Yeah, this is a really great one. I actually did some talks for Cambridge University Press on this, and I actually did a BBC radio interview the other day, so I'll share that because it was on menopause.
Yeah, we'll put the link in.
Fantastic. So these principles apply of, right, we need to feed our gut with fiber, you know, because that's going to help our hormone management. It's going to help reduce cravings, etc. Let's get more protein in. What's great about some of this is we need to get in more phytoestrogens as well when we're going through menopause, because when you've got the drop in estrogen, the phytoestrogens, which are only found in plants, they act like estrogen. They are not estrogen. Okay. They will not negatively affect men. You can eat them at any point of your life, but they are really, really going to help when you're going through menopause. So this is adding more things like edamame beans to what you're eating, more legumes, more peaches, more fruit, more veg, have lots of phytoestrogens in. Those are going to help with the symptom management, for example. But they've also got the other benefits of reducing inflammation, all the, you know, sides of fiber I talked about, etc. So just getting more of those into the diet is really important. But making sure it's stuff you love. So the example I gave to someone yesterday, she said, yeah, but I want buttery toast with my milky coffee. I'm like, yeah, of course, it's got to be enjoyable. I said, could we have a really nice piece of sourdough toast, put your favorite type of nut butter on, chop a banana on top, maybe sprinkle a few little extra seeds and have that. And she said, actually, that sounds great. Can we do that? Cool. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm not going to have the things I love. I need to eat, you know, this completely different bowl of whatever. But yes, I do help women in menopause get more of these kinds of food in, more balanced eating, more protein, help advise them with their training as well, doing more resistance training, and also just helping them come out of diet mentality. Like a lot of women, they put on weight in this time, and I'm so anti the diet industry. It just makes me really angry. It messes people up. It makes them hate themselves. And it's just awful. Well,
and honestly, they don't work. They might work for like 2 weeks, or, you know, of course, if you starve yourself, you're going to lose weight. You're also going to die.
Well, like,
and trust me, I've been on that whole roller coaster of every single, I tried it all.
Yeah.
And the one I know, the one that works for me, and I've sort of got a little bit more of an 80-20 rule. I don't deny myself anything.
Yeah,
if I want some chocolate, I will have some chocolate.
Yeah.
The more you deny yourself something, the more it's in your head. And your mind is the most powerful thing. And the more you're going, no, 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 your mind's going, yes, 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 yes. And guess which one's going to win? And it's probably going to be extreme. So I always, again, I say to people, if you fancy that bit of chocolate, do it, go for it. Just, you know, try and maybe choose the healthier option, which is a nice dark bit of cacao, like you said, rather than your, well, we won't mention brands, but.
but yeah, no, it's completely true. And there's times where, you know, I say I give different options when it comes to treats. It's like, right, okay. There's some amazingly healthy versions of chocolate. Cool. So that's one version. And then other times there is going to be the version that is not healthy, but is so healthy for your soul. And that is also fine. And I, you know, there's this cheesecake, and they've got a plant-based version. By the way, when I say plant-based version, I don't mean healthy, by the way. But it's delicious, and it's in some of the supermarkets. And occasionally, before my period, I'm like, this is a now kind of problem. And nothing else will cut it. And I want some of that cheesecake. Like, I'm not going to go make myself a healthy cheesecake. It's like, no. I don't want to make anything. And I want that cheesecake. And it's Biscoff flavored or chocolate Oreo flavored. And I'm going to eat it. And everyone leave me alone. And no, I'm not going to share it. Like, that's how we're rolling right now. So, but it's also within a context of being sensible. Right. I've eaten a balanced meal. I've drunk enough water. Eating that cheesecake isn't going to make me feel sick or crap because I haven't eaten properly before. I'm putting those things in place, not because I'm obsessed, but because I know I'll feel physically better and will actually enjoy that cheesecake. I'm not enjoying it because I'm starving. I'd say, well, don't eat a treat because you're starving. Eat something proper and then fully enjoy the treat. That's going to be better for you, better for your blood sugar, etc. So there's ways of having treats that are going to actually make you feel better in the end, be better for your health outcomes, better for weight management, etc., where you still enjoy what you want.
What one thing, if somebody were to implement it today, would have the most impact towards a sort of healthy plant-based diet?
Yeah, So this advice is for everyone and anyone, regardless of what diet you want to be on. You just want to be healthier. And that is just add more fruit or vegetables to any plate. I'll give some examples. So we have the oats example. Top it with some oranges or some berries or whatever fruit you want. Add some. You sometimes have avocado on toast for lunch. Roast some tomatoes and put them with it. You have your curry and rice for dinner, whatever that is. Steam some veg, have it with it. Bulk it out with those foods that are full of nutrients, full of fiber, are going to help your gut. That is going to have a massive, massive impact on your energy, your inflammation, your weight management. And that's something that's very easy that you can do. That's just adding something to a plate. And that is probably going to have the biggest impact that you'll find that anyone can do.
What do you say to people? Because, oh, I mean, all of this sounds wonderful and it's making me dribble just thinking about it. But I know I don't enjoy cooking. Not really. And probably part of that is because I'm on my own. And I always think it's nice to share cooking. I love doing that. But if it's for me, I'll do something healthy, but it'll be quick, easy. And I'll just, you know, I'll be eating. Is there a sort of convenient or an easy way that people can prepare these foods or have these foods?
Yeah, there's lots. And again, it depends on the person. I always encourage people, regardless, that put some time to this. And obviously, I know you do because you're super healthy and you look flipping incredible. So you must be doing something right. I can't believe your age. I'm like, it's amazing. We all work in slightly different ways. One of them is, I mean, I basically cook for myself, but I love, it's not saying I love cooking, because sometimes I'm like, oh, time, you know, that's, you know, I don't swan around like just like cooking all day. You know, I've got a busy life as well, but I bulk cook a lot. So for example, after this, I'm going to have some lunch slash dinner, which I've got a amazing chickpea curry that I made, some extra crispy tofu. I've got some veg in the fridge. I've got some various bits I'm going to put together on a plate that I've already cooked and that some have come out of the freezer. So I'm not cooking all the time. So there's that, for example, just making sure you're making double. And I've got lots of examples and I help my clients do this as well. Like, how do I make this efficient, easy? What do I do when I don't want to cook? And then there are also more convenience options. What can I buy, for example? So there are actually a few really healthy frozen food brands out there. There are not many. There's one called All Plants, for example. Some people want to have those a couple of times a week. You put them in your freezer, they get ordered to you, and you can add some extras to those. That's one example of what you can do. There's other things, you know, if you just want to get a bag of salad from the supermarket, some ready-made flavored lovely grains or something, there's some brands in the supermarket as well that do those. You know, you could put together a plate like that. But my suggestion would be do a bit of food prep where you're making several portions, because I don't cook every day. You know, I do a bit of prep every day to put my food on the plate, maybe steam some extra veg or put something in the air fryer or something. But it's mostly stuff that's done in bulk that I can just add. So that's probably the biggest and easiest way, because you're going to save more time. If you have to get all those spices out of the cupboard to make an amazing dish, which is really good for using spices, the best thing you can do is like get some really great glass Tupperware or whatever Tupperware and put some in the freezer, and then you take it out at the time.
I love that. And I think that's something I learned over the years as well. When you really are not, you want the good whole foods, but you might not have the time, is to sort of bulk cook. I think that sort of saved me. Certainly, yeah. Definitely. Wow, Vanessa, I feel like we could go to dinner and talk about this next time. Tell me, what are your future plans?
Oh, what are my future plans? So I'm also a speaker, and, you know, I want to do much more speaking because I love having an impact. You know, when you come and work with me, I've got various tiers and ways that people can come and work with me. And I love that. But I reach more people when I do talks as well, get more people excited, get them either making tiny changes and planting seeds that could save their health, you know, that could make them go, I'm going to look more of that up. I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to pass that on to my family, my kids. I'm going to teach my daughters about their cycles better. Whatever that is, the impact is huge. So I want to be doing more talks, and I'm doing some really incredible ones as well. I just did some for Michigan State University, teaching their future medical students about nutrition, which was incredible. But, you know, with them, reaching kids that are more from, you know, ethnic minority communities, for example, who don't have as much access to good food, that whose families are struggling with more chronic conditions. So wonderful things there. Definitely want to do more in media. So I'm, you know, got my slot on BBC Radio every month. I get on Metro and Times Radio and Sky News and stuff. And I want to be doing more of that because I want to get people excited about healthy eating. You know, if people are excited and are like, hold on, I can improve my health in a way that's non-restrictive, let's not get caught up with labels and arguments. What can I just do for me that I'm going to love, feel nourished, get rid of diet mentality, and just enjoy my life and have a better life?
Well, I love that. I think get rid of diet mentality and really get healthy is a great strapline, great thing to be putting out there. Where can people find out more about you, Vanessa?
You can follow me on Instagram. I'm Energize and Thrive Plant Based on Instagram. You can join my Facebook community where I've got exclusive tip videos, health advice, recipes, if you want to go try all the food. So come into that group. Now you can be, doesn't matter whether you are been vegan for years or you never want to give up meat. I don't care. It's about what's going to work for you and taking things into your life in a way that's just delicious and fun. So that group's called How to Go Plant-Based. Just head into the group and there is a wonderful loving community in there. Look forward to seeing you in there. And if you want to just contact me, just DM me on either of those platforms if you want to have a chat about anything that I do, whether it's talks or one-to-one sessions, and see where I can help you.
And we'll put all your links in the show notes. Vanessa, it's been great having this chat. I'm looking forward to meeting in person and maybe trying some of your homemade food.
Yes, let's do that. Get food involved in every meeting.
This has been great. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show, Vanessa.
Thank you so much for having me.